Next on BYUSN, one day away from the start of Big 12 football media days. So what questions are we hoping we will have answered over the next few days? Former BYU quarterback Riley Nelson joins the show to discuss the current state of the Cougars quarterback room and which QB he thinks has the inside track to be the starter.
AJ DeMonza is golden at the FIBA World Championships MVP honors. How does that impact our expectations for next season here in Provo? And if there was a Big 12 preseason football poll, where would you put BYU? We'll read some responses from our loaded question of the day.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Monday, July 7th. I am Spencer Linton, clearly feeling patriotic today, as is the man who sits across from me, Stadium of Fire fanatic Dave McCann.
It was such a good show Friday night. And afterwards, when everyone left and we were down on the field, and I looked around and I thought, the next time this thing's full will be August 30th.
Let's go.
The opener against Portland State. That's how close we are. And Stadium of Fire is always the bridge. Once that's done, then it's like, okay, now it's time to play football. And now we're here.
Once Independence Day is over, at least in my mind, mentally, I turned the page to, okay, when does football start?
So the band came out, Rascal Flatts, and they were awesome. And they stopped playing, and they go, hey, where are the Lintons? And they looked down on the fourth row, and you weren't there. And so then they just kept playing. So we missed you.
Oh, we wish we could have been there. Shout out to my wife, Brittany, who's battling through pneumonia. She's turning a corner, Dave. She's a champion. So we celebrated in our own way on the 4th of July. Independence in a different way. The Linton home.
Well, we're glad she's feeling a little better.
Yes.
Kalani celebrated a couple of different ways. One, he showed up in this new video. It looks like he's been in the gym. Here he is. The new college football video game. And that's him. Some people said, hey, is that Fessy? No, that's Kalani.
Nope.
And he's cut down on some sugar, clearly, against his will, of course. And then he looks good. And then he was the grand marshal with the football team.
Yes.
In the parade on Friday morning, and everyone got a chance to cheer him on. There's a shot riding in the convertible and setting the tone for a hot July month that's going to end with practice going on campus and the countdown to kickoff.
Here we go. I appreciate the video game efforts to put actual head coaches in the game. Yeah. I think it's pretty cool.
It's helpful if it is the person.
They have some work to do between what came out from Lane Kiffin of Ole Miss and now Kalani Sitake. There's room for improvement with the design of the head coaches.
It's the game season. It's the gaming season, and it's going to be the talking season, right, starting this week down in Texas and around the country, and then it'll become the playing season.
We turn the page to tomorrow, which takes us to Rise and Shout. Let's get to what's trending. Big 12 media days are right around the corner, and at the quarterback situation to be BYU's QB1.
The media votes. They don't know what we know.
Why not go shock some people?
Just a number, baby.
They don't know, but they about to find out. What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Everybody has questions. Everybody has big questions, especially before Big 12 football media days. Understandably, in the BYU realm, many of those center around what's going on in the quarterback room. Of course, that is at the top of the list, but that doesn't mean it's the only question, Dave. There are several on the list today. I'm going to ask you the question about your questions. Which brain busters do you want answered at Big 12 football media days?
Well, I was just listening to you say they don't know, but they're about to find out. And I'm thinking that, well, they found out a lot last season. And so I'm curious what other teams in the league think of BYU going into year three. Year one, here were the new guys. Yeah, they're probably going to be pretty good, and they were 5-7. Last year, they were picked 13th, and they finished tied for first and finished 13th in the AP Top 25 with a lot of those guys coming back. So, you know, I'm curious to hear what the others think about BYU now that they have started to find out.
There is, in the Big 12 Conference, because of that parity situation, Dave, to me, the number one question always is, who in the world should be the favorite? And where does BYU factor into that conversation? There is no preseason poll this year.
Right.
Frankly, it was so bad last year that they were just like, Okay, you know, we weren't even
We don't need
close.
That kind of heat.
Yeah. I mean, again, if you're not familiar, the teams that were picked to finish 6th, 11th, 13th, and 16th finished in the top four, and your number 16 team won the conference and went to the college football playoff.
Look at this. This says it all right here.
I mean, what do you do? I don't blame them for being like, you know what, it's just not good. There's no point. Let's stop this mess.
Sometimes the media and the coaches get it wrong. Last year, they got it completely wrong. And so, yeah. So, without a poll, which is usually the talking point coming out of these kinds of meetings in July, like, hey, they said you were this. Are you offended? Or they said you were this. You better be ready because now everyone's going to be coming for you. Without that narrative, I don't know how teams feel as they leave, going, hey, no one said we were lousy and no one said we were great. So we're really not quite sure who we are.
Yeah.
You know, and usually that's some kind of motivator like, hey, they picked you 13th. Now let's go have fall camp. And all of a sudden they come out and knock some heads.
We have questions about where BYU lands in the now non-existent preseason poll. But we were talking this morning on the phone, and naturally, we want to know what all of these other teams, especially those that BYU will face in Big 12 competition, think about the Cougars right now and how they shape up BYU. So we will certainly ask. Tough for us to sit here and be like, well, I think that they're all going to say that BYU is going to finish in the top six. No, that's not going to happen tomorrow. But we will certainly ask how they shape up a team like BYU, who brings back a very veteran defense with a third-year defensive coordinator coming off a season where, frankly, the defense won a bunch of games for BYU.
Oh, yeah.
They did straight up. That defense won BYU multiple games.
Those 21 interceptions, those changed games. 21 times they took the ball away.
It's going to be
tied
tough
with
to
Texas
replicate
for the most.
That.
Yeah, so, I mean, that defense, that changed the makeup of just about every win. Just about every one. One way or the other. Two picks, one pick, a timely pick. Those picks were huge.
Okay, so with the Big 12 preseason poll gone, there is this lingering question around the conference as well about where they fit in the grand scheme of college football.
Yeah.
Because we love parity. It's really fun. It means that every team, when the season begins, feels like, hey, well, why can't we be the Arizona State of last year and go and win the Big 12 conference? Everybody feels like they have a shot. But this, in the current landscape of the playoff, doesn't necessarily shape up well or in a strong position for the Big 12. Is it going to be another situation where whoever wins the conference gets into the college football playoff, but the Big 12 doesn't have a second representative?
I hope not. I hope not. I hope that the league is good enough where you've got some candidates there. They would have had candidates there last year. If you beat up everybody, then that's not going to be the case, and your champion gets in. But the other leagues are facing the same kind of a thing. But the Big 12 needs four teams to surface better than the rest, like kind of like last year, to where they're battling each other for, you know, four teams can get to the conference championship game, depending on how that last week goes. That's what the Big 12 needs for national interest. Oh, let's ESPN, let's put that Fox, let's put that one there so they see it. But if we're, you know, if everybody's 8-4 and fighting for that, you're right. But those other leagues face the same thing, except for the SEC, where they're all just granted stuff anyway because they showed up. But the Big 12 has to earn that second spot. And without a preseason poll, you don't have the – and we'll talk about it as we get closer to the AP release, which will be later. But you don't have the trumpet sounding. Everybody, watch for these guys. And then people back on the East are going to cast their votes. Are going, oh, who's good in the Big 12? Oh, they say they are. I'm going to put them 14th. I mean, that's about as much thought as goes into these preseason.
Yeah, so where do they place the Big 12 in the national landscape?
Without some noise, like, what? Arizona State's number one. Okay, they must be good again. I'm going to vote them number 7.
So most people will look at Arizona State because they bring back their starting quarterback and a number of other starters on a team that just won the Big 12. But aside from Sam Leavitt at QB and Jordan Tyson at wide receiver, I think there are in large part a lot of questions about a team like the Sun Devils.
Yeah.
But to your point, most voters will be like, oh, yeah, Arizona State's They're back with their quarterback.
Yeah.
And they got their star receiver. Yeah, they're the best Big 12 team. So I'm going to put them whatever. Number 8, number 12, number 16. But does no preseason poll hurt the conference in that top 25 conversation?
I think so, and I think so. And then all of a sudden, that first game on August 23rd, Iowa State and Kansas State in Ireland, in a game that counts in the Big 12, that might be the game that says, hey, everybody, you got to watch the Big 12 this year. Because it's almost an elimination game before we even get to September for one of those two teams, if the league's as tough as we think it will be.
Yes.
But that might be the game, since everyone will be watching because it's the first college game on ESPN, that might be the game that gets everyone to go, oh, man, those two teams in the Big 12's loaded, I got to watch them. If one team comes out and wins 49-0, they won't think that. They'll go, well, that team is not a contender, even though they might have just had a bad day. But that early game as the first game in week zero to come out and have all that on the line, that might be the best thing the Big 12 has going as far as, here's a reason to watch us.
Yeah.
We got these two teams and then a bunch of teams like them, as long as these two teams bring their A game to Ireland.
You wonder if that will be a ranked matchup. I believe Iowa State will be a preseason ranked team. Kansas State was kind of on the border last year, just outside. I don't know if they'll be in. But what I can tell you is, remembering last year's game in Ireland that featured Georgia Tech and Florida State, we got a real early indication that Florida State was not going to have a good season.
They never recovered.
When they lost that game.
Yeah.
So fascinating situation to have two Big 12 teams in that game. Who's going to be the Arizona State this year?
Yeah, that's, who knows? Who could be 16-1? I don't think there will be one that goes 16. That would be the worst, considered the worst team that wins the league.
Yeah, can a Cincinnati make a significant jump?
That was such a surprise. I don't know if you get those back-to-back. I think a lot of people will be talking about Texas Tech because they redefined budgeting. And
they should.
And how to get guys and how to finance them and all of it. And that's a recent wrinkle, right, in the last week, to where they ride that in there and everyone's going, wait a second, what are you guys up to over there? How are you getting all these guys to
Texas
love it?
Tech will generate a lot of interest over the course of 2 days in Frisco.
You know, and then there's something will come up. Somebody will say something crazy.
I'm sure Brett Yormark will be asked how he strengthens the status of the Big 12 in the ever-evolving landscape of college sports.
Yeah.
They got a great thing going in college basketball. They're trying to find a better footing in college football in terms of how to get multiple teams into the college football playoff. So I can guarantee you that question will be asked, and I can't wait to hear what his answer is, because he typically is a forward thinker and he definitely thinks outside the box.
Yeah.
So what do you do to try and better your stance to get two into the college football
playoff? He's a showman. You know he's going to say stuff. That's how he's going to maximize the coverage for sure.
His suit will be tailored, and it probably will be more expensive than my entire wardrobe combined. Our question of the day: if there were a Big 12 football preseason poll, where would you place BYU? I gave you my answer last week. I'll give it to you again in a moment. Jason Shepard gave you his. Can't wait to hear Dave's. But at Coulter Gill on X says, like 7th or 8th. With the uncertainty at quarterback, I wouldn't put BYU at the top of the pack, but with all of the returners, I don't think they would be put at the bottom. I placed BYU at number 7. When they had their incumbent starting quarterback back with the team, Jake Retzlaff, I had BYU at number 4. Obviously, you need to give the team and the offense and that quarterback room a little bit of leeway. At least I think so. To be fair to whoever the quarterback is, give them a little time. I put BYU at 7th, but that, to me, that still is a winning record in Big 12 play, Dave. That's 5-4. Where would you place BYU?
Well, at TO1TDS on X says, I'm a fan, always number 1.
Okay,
love that.
Win the Big 12.
It feels like around 6. You've got the best defense in the league coming back. You have the best kicker. You've got the best punt returner, arguably. You've got a solid offensive line. Fessy Satake loves the depth of his receivers room. LJ Martin's healthy. 6. With a chance to be in the upper echelon with a couple of breaks.
Okay.
Fall back a little bit with a couple of bad breaks. But this is a really good football team. No matter who the quarterback is, it'd be great if you knew who he was and had a bunch of experience and all that stuff. But, okay, here we are. 6 seems to be about right.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. What would you do if you were to place BYU in a Big 12 preseason poll that doesn't exist anymore? Where are you placing the Cougars? On to some basketball, Dave.
A.J. DeBonce named MVP at the FIBA U19 World Championships over in Switzerland. Team USA won the gold medal. That's awesome. You scratch your head the whole time going, seriously? He's going to be wearing a BYU jersey this fall, this winter, this spring, deep into the spring perhaps. Spencer, does this impact what your expectations are for A.J. at BYU this season, having just watched him win MVP honors and a gold medal?
I don't know if my expectations are shifting because I'm not really sure where to place them. What it did do for me watching him in this tournament and watching him win the MVP and the United States win gold was help the reality of what is happening at BYU set in a little bit stronger. The fact that BYU has a top three NBA draft pick on their roster next year and that he is going to take the Cougars to another level. I watched it and I felt like, okay, BYU is an Elite Eight team. If you want to talk expectations, maybe that was solidified. I feel like they are Elite Eight good, if not better. And it just brought home the reality that this is happening in Provo. I cannot wait to get him in royal blue and white and watch him do his thing at the collegiate level. This just helps BYU take another step. So maybe, the foundation of what I thought BYU could be is solidified. Like, okay, they are Elite Eight good.
I loved his attitude. We're just going over the win gold. That's it. That's the whole motivation. It's not to average 30 points a game. It's not to be the MVP. We came here to win the gold. He's talking about coming to BYU to win games and to win a national championship, which he said is the goal. How he does that, how he elevates the guys around him, that's his business, right? Is he going to get 30 a night for BYU? Does he have to? Probably not. But what he does do is he elevates everybody else and you win games. Winning the game still is what matters, and that's what matters most to him. I don't think he's disappointed that he didn't hit as many threes as he wanted. I'm sure that's on his mind, but he's got a gold medal around his neck, and that was why he went. I get the feeling as we watch this that he's coming here to win games. He's coming here to help his players around him be better, and he's got great players around him. So I'm watching that going, well, that's the U19 team. They're all superstars on that team. And he's the MVP, averaging 14 points a game. Well, that's all he needed to do to help that team win a gold medal.
It solidified what Kevin Young told us a few weeks ago here in Studio B, that while AJ gets a lot of notoriety for his incredible athleticism and making a great move and then just dunking on somebody super hard and the mean mug, he's like, he's way more of a complete player than just those highlights you see.
Defense. Yeah, a few crazy dunks.
Those wild offensive highlights are just a glimmer of the complete player that he is. So in a way, watching him play in this tournament did adjust my expectations in that regard, where I watched him and thought, okay, this is what Kevin Young was talking about. He makes everybody around him better, and he's an incredibly unselfish player. I think sometimes they want him to be a little more selfish, but...
Yeah, and these guys didn't really run set stuff for him. BYU will. Allow him to expose his skill set. But the kid's humble, you know. We've had him here. We've had personal visits with him. He's a great fit here. And every time his name's mentioned in the course of those games, BYU wasn't too far behind or ahead.
I love that.
And you can't buy that stuff. You can try, but you can't buy that stuff.
The recognition is really gratifying. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Good for him.
Back to football now. BYU, one of 14 schools with 45-plus wins since 2020. This was put out by @CFB Alerts. The list is obviously small. Again, just 14. So BYU joining the likes of Ohio State, Michigan, and Oregon, and Clemson, Alabama, Penn State, Notre Dame, Texas, Georgia. 14 teams. Of those 45-plus wins since 2020, Dave, what's your favorite win over the last five seasons?
We had a great conversation. I wish you guys could tap into our morning conversation. One, it's terribly early in the morning, and yet it's still a good conversation, so that tells you the high level of what we're talking about. You got to go to Utah. We both agreed with this. Utah in 2021. That Friday, BYU's invited to the Big 12. Then Saturday night, in front of a full house, Utah comes in here and BYU beats them. They snap the skid that was against them. They did it in dominant fashion, especially defensively. How about Nacua getting a touchdown, as he promised during the pregame show for his ailing grandmother? It was magical. That's number one.
Yes.
For all those reasons. And then it was a rivalry game.
In the last 5 years, that is the clear number one. I'd like to throw in Kansas State last year.
Good one.
Just the middle 6.5 to 7 minutes of
that game.
That's
all you need to see. Just see that clip.
Were almost unbelievable. Like, if I told you what transpired the last 2 minutes of the first half and then the first 4 minutes of the second half, you'd be like, stop it. Stop it. This is against a ranked, solid Kansas State. BYU absolutely had them seeing ghosts. And the punt return from Parker Kingston to cap it all off after the defense set up BYU's offense with several short fields, which they paid off to their credit. That's one of those games that the BYU defense absolutely changed and
so
won.
The fans
they
had so
won
much
that
fun.
Game. And it was so loud. Electric atmosphere. So that might be number two for me.
You got the road game at Arkansas, Utah last year. Up there.
On the road, broke the streak at Rice-Eccles Stadium.
And the Colorado Bowl sometimes gets forgotten. Alamo Bowl.
Just
the sheer dominance in front of the biggest TV audience in program history. And they just whack Colorado.
That deserves more credit. The Alamo Bowl deserves more credit in this conversation. You're taking down the Heisman Trophy winner, Shedeur Sanders, the entire Coach Prime circus in Colorado.
Oh,
BYU is an underdog in that game. Yeah, let's not forget BYU was an underdog going into that game.
It was insane. And Glasker's pick and then the dance in front of Dion. You can't script that.
Come on.
It's magic happened.
Yes.
Right? It was great.
There have been some great wins in the last 5 years, no doubt about it.
BYU TV Sports Nation has you covered for the Big 12 Media Days. That starts tomorrow at the Star in Frisco, home of the Dallas Cowboys. Noon Eastern time, BYU TV, BYU Radio. It's the season of chatter. Starting tomorrow.
After the break, BYU quarterback great Riley Nelson discusses the current state of the QB room and who he thinks has the inside track to be QB1 against Portland State. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
If anything, it's entertainment, boys, and that's what football is supposed to be.
I feel really good about all three of these guys.
I'm more optimistic than I am concerned, for sure.
I really like the leadership, I like the talent, and I like the coaching, so it should all come together really nicely.
Welcome back to Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Dave McCann. Let's talk BYU quarterback, shall we? That seems to be a topic most of you are interested in.
Yeah.
And do so with a former BYU quarterback that led BYU to a 10-win season. Riley Nelson is back on the show. Riley, how are you this fine morning as we push toward Big 12 Media Days?
If I'm being honest, boys, like, I am wiped. And maybe it's just because, like, the 4th is one of my favorite holidays, and I go hard. And then they combine that with the sun and the heat and all that stuff. But here I am. I grabbed my lunch, got up at the alarm this morning, grabbed my lunch pail, and came in to work with you guys. So good. I'm happy about that. But I'd be lying if I didn't say I'm a little bit dragged. I'm dragging a little bit today.
Fair enough. Hey, we don't judge. We understand it. Yeah. Listen, I put on this shirt to try and bring some energy into my life this morning, Riley, okay? Just to continue on with the holiday. So with that said, as we flip the page to Big 12 Media Days, everybody's going to look at BYU and Kalani Sitake and want to know, hey, what's going on with the quarterback room with the expected transfer of Jake Retzlaff and now three largely unproven guys? Where do you feel like BYU is? He'll be asked that. We're going to ask you the same question right now. Where do you see the status of the quarterback room with so many question marks around it right now?
It's where a lot of programs, it seems less and less these days, because if you lose an entrenched starter, normally you go out to the portal and try and get a guy that seems to be the heir apparent. And we did that with Slovis, right? And I think Bohannon wasn't brought in to be the heir apparent, but rather to compete with Jake. But I mean, let's let's be honest, this is somewhat familiar territory for BYU post Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall. Is we're going into fall camp with the QB competition, trying to find the guy that's best to lead this offense. And I think each of the guys, one of the things that's most interesting about this to me is each of the guys possess very unique skill sets. They're each going to come with their trade-offs. Their strengths and their weaknesses don't seem to align. And so it will be interesting to see over the course of this competition whose strength and weakness or pro-con profile fits best to lead this offense with the tools and system they have in place going into the 25 season.
Right. Let me weave my way through that answer. Let's say the game is tonight. Who's your starting quarterback tonight? And then who's your starting quarterback on August 30th? Let's say it if it's a different guy. How do you see
it?
So
hard for me to say, Dave, because and listen, I as this offseason has played out, I'll admit I didn't put on the tape, and I don't have access to all 22 and stuff, but there's enough out there on social media these days that I finally went back. I rewatched McKay, of course, as everybody knows, family's still up in Logan. I whenever the Cougs aren't in town, I'm up watching the Aggies. So I got to see McKay's start of his college career up in Logan at Utah State and be there live for some of his games. I put myself to watching some tape of Trace, and of course, everything that we're looking at with Bachmeier is either practice tape at Stanford or high school tape. So that's kind of tough to evaluate there. As I look at it, to me, undoubtedly, McKay spins the ball the best, is the most accurate, is the best pure passer. But he couldn't stay healthy at Utah State. And that, to me, like, the defenders are only that much bigger, that much faster, and willing to inflict that much more punishment at this P5 level of football. The other thing is, McKay, I love watching his film because he's a lot like me. Like, he's a little bit of a risk-reward guy. Like, he's not scared to throw it into tight windows. He's not scared to extend plays and try and, you know, make that big play. That doesn't seem to align necessarily with the way Roderick has coached up his QBs, right? As we think, I mentioned the kind of Wilson Hall era. Zach was able to take some shots against that schedule that ended up playing out during COVID. So we all remember a bunch of down the field plays to Dax and the rest of them. But if you think, I really think Jaren Hall was the quintessential Aaron Roderick quarterback. And if you think about his play, it was great decision making, tons of composure, you know, checking the ball down, live to play another day, don't put the ball at risk in possession. So when you do that, and then you look at Trayson is a, he's got the size and he's got the combo as far as run pass ability. He brings that, which both Zach and Jaren did, to the offense. But when I watch some of his game film, I know I look at it and he struggles with accuracy in the short to intermediate passing game, and some of his deep balls die. Now, I know that's a while ago, and I'm going to definitely allow a kid, especially who was early on in his college career, to take strides in his development. And then Bachmeier, I think, at least high school, coming out of high school, had the highest star rating. I bet if you were to do the walk off the bus test, he would probably be the one that just blind, and you're picking a kid off physique and build and all that. Nod probably goes to Bachmeier there. So there's kind of my scouting report on each of the three, not being able to have the luxury of getting to see them through spring ball, through summer workouts, and then fall camp. It'll be interesting to see who wins. But to go back to the question, Dave, game starts tomorrow. I'm probably trotting McKay out there simply because I love the way that he can spin it. He's got experience that hopefully he can build off of to know how to accurately place that risk reward type of play that he has. And then also having started some games, and I know Borgay has too, but also having started some games at the Division I level, he'll be able to best absorb and orchestrate Coach Roderick's offense heading into the season.
Riley Nelson, former BYU quarterback, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Riley, you have a very unique perspective on what it is like to be in a quarterback battle at BYU because you did it on multiple occasions, and to your credit, you won those quarterback battles. This one, however, has been condensed, and it's not a situation that BYU wanted to be in, but yet here they are having to make somewhat of an expedited decision before August 30th. So knowing what you know about the quarterback battles and then assessing BYU's situation because of things largely out of their control, how does it make this one different and more challenging?
So knowing this, I just gave my scouting report on each of the individual players. Now I'll give you my scouting report on what I've observed from the staff, which, by the way, the staff has largely stayed together for the last, which is one of the biggest strengths, that no matter who the quarterback is, they've got a staff that's putting together a game plan that has been through wars together, right? With the large majority of the staff having been together for the better part of the last decade. So that is an extreme luxury for the quarterback to be, not to mention all of the returning pieces that you have coming back. And you've got a proven commodity at running back in Martin. You've got a proven go-to receiver in Roberts. You've got a lot of returning talent and returning snaps on that offensive line. So whoever it is going to be that. But let me go back to the question of the staff. I think with condensed and knowing what I know of the philosophical approach, despite their ability to be creative and to draw up some very entertaining and good plays, a core tenet for this offensive staff is limit downside. Don't give the ball up. Eliminate negative plays. That comes in the form of procedural pre-snap, penalties post-snap, and turnovers, obviously. And the quarterback is the biggest indicator, the biggest contributor or preventer of all those three things. So my evaluation outside looking in is that this staff, given the condensed time frame, will go with the player that they believe has demonstrated the best ability to limit downside. So they're going to look at highest floor and not necessarily highest ceiling, at least for that initial decision, and then we'll see how the season plays out from there.
Riley, I wrote a piece in the Deseret News with you about this next question we want to revisit. There's not much time left for a quarterback to get ready, so how can BYU do it in the next 2 months for the opener and 3 months, really, until the Big 12 opener against Colorado? How do one of these guys get ready to be the man?
So I just talked about that. Yeah. Oh, so you were talking about quarterback. I was anticipating the question about the program at large. And I think you got Coach Hill, who's working with his defensive leadership to know those guys that, like, listen, until we get a guy that gets out there and gets his feet under him, the first 3 to 4 games of the season are going to be on us. And then, guys, Coach Papinga is the special teams coordinator. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and then if I'm Kelly, right, if I'm Coach Papinga, I'm getting with my special teams leadership too and saying, hey, we're going to need to contribute just like we did in the Kansas State game, just like we did in the Colorado game, just like we did in all these other games. We're going to need to contribute to these games in meaningful ways until that guy can prove himself. Now, Dave, your question was about these players. These players, the best thing that they can do is act as if the job is theirs. Now, granted, they're going to have to go out and earn it. I'm not saying act as if it's yours from an entitlement standpoint, but rather a confidence standpoint, because it's that old cliche that if you don't believe in you, then why should anyone else? So the test for each of these players is going to be, you go out there, and look, that doesn't mean you're breaking down every huddle. That doesn't mean you're leading every player run practice, but you carry yourself and you go about your business as if you are the starter, and you take that approach to the competition. And in my opinion, that will give whoever can display that amount of self-belief or self-confidence, that's going to give them the inside track of winning the job. And then secondarily to that mental mindset comes just the execution. Are you in there and making sure that you've got the entire install, you know, committed to memory and front to back before practice even starts? Or are you out there reviewing that day's install, you know, from position meeting to getting dressed in the locker room, right? How much work are you putting in before to give yourself building it? And that's what comes on all part of that confidence, because doing that, like memorizing the install and having the install like solid before practice even starts, is what the guy does. Like, if you're the incumbent starter, if you're like, that's what Max Hall did going into being a 3-year starter. I observed my first year at BYU. He had the install done before player position meeting even started. And then position meetings was kind of more of a refresher and a polisher. And then he goes out to practice already done. So, and a lot of guys in QB competition get caught up worrying about yesterday's practice, or, you know, how the rep split went, or the balances, or whether they're working with the ones, twos, or threes. You got to carry yourself as if you're already the guy. You got to do the things that the guy would do, and you have got to have the self-belief that the guy would have, and that's going to give you your best chance to go out and execute and win the job.
Riley, we'll finish with this. From a win-loss expectation mindset, with BYU, with Jake Retzlaff and now without him, how much have your expectations on the Cougars' abilities in the win-loss column shifted because of what is happening now in the quarterback room?
Yeah, I had it coming out of spring ball at 9 wins, but mostly because and that's 9 wins regular season, so not 9-3. The reason why I had that is as awesome as they were, some of those games, like, you know, the Oklahoma State game, there was some luck exhibited there. BYU was in some close games last year where at least 2 or 3 that I can think of off the top where the ball bounced their way. And that's hard to do. Like, to me, they weren't necessarily manufactured. Rather, there was a pretty big luck component. So I had them that maybe our luck regresses just a little bit this year at 9 wins. To me, not having Retzlaff, though, but I think in the portal and in the offseason, I think we got even better on the defense last year that I thought was nasty. So long way of saying my win projection in the regular season went from 9-3 to 8-4. But if we get higher than our share of a luck component, I think we can be right there flirting with double-digit regular season wins. Again, that's how good I think this defense and special teams unit are. And again, if you get a quarterback that can come in and truly orchestrate the offense to limit downside and trust in Roderick and Fessy and Harvey and the rest of that offensive staff to put in opportunistic plays, take advantage of shots, and to let them orchestrate it to you rather than you taking all the pressure on yourself and trying to do it yourself. Trust your pieces, trust your defense, trust your special teams. To me, my win projection only dropped one win, but I'm still open and hopeful for the possibility of getting double-digit regular season. That's how high I am on the state of this program.
Riley, I could not think of a more perfect guest than for the situation that BYU was in before Big 12 Media Days. Great stuff and insight as always. Good luck finding some energy the rest of the day. Hopefully we can bring it for you tomorrow when we're in Dallas.
We rallied, man. You got the 4th of July was like those tough, like midsummer. In fact, it's a lot like what the boys are going through. Right now, they're kind of ending their hardest, most conditioning, right? So they probably had some big test right before the holiday that just wiped out their legs. And they probably all took giant naps and slept for 8 hours. But now they're going to rally, come back, and start building momentum, refining those skills into the season. I'm going to do the same. The 4th of July just completely wiped me out. But I'm coming out attacking this next week as we get one step closer to the season.
Would expect nothing less.
We rally for momentum. True. Riley, thanks for the time, man.
See you, fellas.
Great perspective, as always. If you missed any of our interviews, ones like that and so many more, our shows are Deep Blues. They're waiting for you at BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app. Get all the BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
Still on the way. Hey, A.J. DeBonta wasn't the only guy for BYU to star on the international stage. What did Delaney Gibb and Suli Davis do representing their respective countries? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Dave McCann. Let's get to your Monday headlines.
We start with football. Big 12 Media Days starts tomorrow in Frisco, Texas, home of the Dallas Cowboys. Should be lots of fun. BYU Sports Nation with live coverage both Tuesday and Wednesday, noon Eastern, BYU TV, BYU Radio. Also of note, the one-time transfer portal window opens today for athletes who are placed on a designated student athlete list and will stay open until August 5th. Keep your eye on that one.
A.J. DeBonta named MVP of the U19 FIBA World Championships after helping Team USA to a gold medal win over Germany yesterday. DeBonta averaged 14.3 points per contest, just over 4 rebounds and 2.3 assists per contest while shooting 50% from the field over the course of the tournament.
How about Delaney Gibb helping Team Canada win the bronze at the FIBA AmeriCup? Thanks to a game-winning assist in double overtime to beat Argentina by 1. 9.1 points per game average for Delaney through the tournament, 2.9 assists. And what a great week for Gibb.
This is their senior national team. Incredible stuff. Suli Davis of BYU Women's Volleyball led Team USA with 12 kills, 3 blocks, 2 aces in a loss to Bulgaria in 5 sets at the U19 World Championships yesterday. Davis and Team USA back in action today against Turkey.
Justin Sterner pitched 1.2, 1 2/3 innings is how you say it, against the A's. For the A's, giving up a hit in a 7-2 loss to the Giants. 4.20 ERA now across 31 appearances on the season. Cubs beat the Cardinals by 11. Someone call Shep. Make sure he's okay.
On the PGA Tour, Patrick Fishburne and Zach Blair, former BYU greats, both made the cut at the John Deere Classic over the weekend. Fishburne finished tied for 18th, 14 under par combined. He won $128,000 in change. Blair finished tied for 33rd. He was 10 under par for the tournament and won just a hair under $45,000. Payday and well-deserved for both of those guys. After the break, the latest Deep Blue featuring Bernardo Adam of BYU Men's Volleyball on how the decision to come to BYU helped him find joy in playing volleyball again. This is BYUSN. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. Bernardo Adam of BYU Men's Volleyball took a winding journey to rediscover his love for volleyball at BYU. It was especially challenging following a disappointing experience competing for his national team. So how did he rediscover that joy at BYU? This is Deep Blue featuring Bernardo Adam.
Growing up, in our house, we had the living room was a kind of a square. What my dad did was he would put a rope across the room. He would put three or four mattresses on the floor, and we would have an air balloon to play volleyball. So we would play volleyball for hours, and that was awesome. I remember that like it was yesterday.
Bernardo no esporte, sempre no esporte. O Bernardo jogou futebol, o Bernardo jogou basquetebol, o Bernardo fez natação, né? Mas foi no voleibol que ele também se identificou mais, talvez pela minha paixão pelo voleibol.
I was invited to play for the national team in Brazil, the U19 World Championship in Iran. In the national team, it was amazing volleyball experience for me, but in the end of the day, it was traumatizing.
Those guys are volleyball only, and it's pretty cutthroat. Many of them just want to play well, regardless if the team is winning or losing. They want to do well individually so they can sign a contract, or they can renew a contract, or they can finally get a big contract at the age of 18. They just were playing for the wrong reasons.
The expectation that the Brazilian public have on volleyball is at the same time amazing and cruel, because everyone is supporting you and you know that clearly, but it's cruel because of the critics. It's brutal. In simple words, they just said the coaches don't know what they're doing. The national team is a shame. We're not proud of the Brazilian volleyball anymore. This libero doesn't know what he's doing. Yes, they are tattooed in my mind forever.
Nós criamos o Bernardo sobre três pilares: Deus, família e trabalho. O Bernardo foi criado nesses três pilares, né? E sobre esses três pilares a gente moldou o homem e a criança que ele foi se tornando, né? Então todas as decisões, todas as rotinas que nós vivíamos sempre foram calcadas nesses três pilares. E esses três pilares, na minha visão, foi o que fez o Bernardo se tornar a pessoa que ele se tornou.
That whole situation, that whole drama of the national team impacted me in a way that I see myself now in a position of giving more to others. It will never be about me. It will never be about what do I want. It's about the team. It's about who I am with.
Foi aprendizado. Aprendizado pro Bernardo. Né? A vida não vai ser sempre boa. A vida não vai ser sempre bacana. E a vida não vai trazer sempre vitórias. Ele vai ter perdas e frustrações. Foi um aprendizado.
It was my dream to come to the U.S. to continue my volleyball career while studying, because internationally you can do that. Once you graduate from high school, you either go pro or you go to university. There's no college sports. So the U.S. was the best option.
Pela primeira vez, nós sentimos aonde seria o novo lar do Bernardo. E o sentimento que nós tivemos foi um sentimento de realização muito grande.
It felt home immediately. I always mention this to people. When we are international students in our first semester, we are required to take international orientation class. And the first thing that professor talks about and teaches is about the cultural shock. He always says that the first month is the honeymoon, and then after that is downhill on just feeling homesick. And I want, you know, Brazilian food, and I'm still waiting for that cultural shock. That's the truth. This feels home, and it's about people. It's about how people embraced me, and it's gonna be about how I embrace people here also.
I felt deep in all my heart that Bernardo belongs to this place. And when I saw all this, those people, the people here, and how they care about the education and how you guys take care of each other, my heart felt how he was right to come here.
He's a massive, massive part of our team culture. He is a guy that taught many of our players how to play this card game, and that's our game. It became our team game when you're on the road, in the team room, downtime. So instead of them being on their phones and not connecting at a personal level, Nardo implemented that into our team culture, and now we have that extra layer of friendship and camaraderie that came with him when he arrived.
On the court, we play the same position. So we're the only two on the team that play the libero position. So it's funny because, you know, we're so close and we love each other so much, but we get on the court and it's like we have to compete head-to-head every day. And so he's helped me in that way to be a better volleyball player. And I know it's not just me. I know that every single one of my teammates, even in the past 2 years that he's been on the team, have been touched by Bernardo in some way, and they all love him. I don't think there's a teammate out there that could say something bad about Bernardo, and that speaks to who he is.
Eu tenho muito, muito orgulho do Bernardo pela pessoa que ele está se tornando, porque nós todos somos pessoas em construção, está sempre querendo se melhorar, fazer o seu melhor e tirar das situações e da vida o que há de melhor.
I didn't come to the U.S. to change who I am. I came to the U.S. to grow. And the truth is that I love being authentic. I have the only chance right here in this world at this time to be Bernardo Adam. Why wouldn't you embrace it? If people love me, great. If people don't, that sucks, but this is who I am. I think authenticity is directly related to the purpose of life.
How about that perspective from Bernardo Adam? Can't wait to watch BYU men's volleyball moving forward.
So many good stories here.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
That team brings a lot of joy to BYU fans.
Sure does.
No doubt about it. On the way, if there were a Big 12 football preseason poll, where would you put BYU? More responses to our question of the day after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. If there were a Big 12 football preseason poll, where would you put BYU this year? At ST Utah on X is middle of the pack, even with an outstanding defense returning, too much uncertainty at the QB position.
Yeah, okay.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, from Rex Culp on Instagram, who says, 4 right now. Losing a starting quarterback really hurts. I hope they prove me wrong.
It does hurt. But yeah, 4, hey, that's a good pick.
4 is still very favorable. That's where I had him with Jake Retzloff. Okay. Right. Today's right. Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union, and BYU Athletics.
The medalist, AJ, wins gold at the U19 World Championships for Team USA. Delaney Gibb wins bronze for Team Canada at the America.
Well done. How about that assist to win it right
Incredible, incredible pass to secure the bronze. Yeah, big play, Delaney. Let's go. Our thanks to today's guest, Riley Nelson.
Conversation continues 24/7 on all the platforms, and we're on BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I'm Spencer. See you from Dallas. Go Cougs.